My name is Neil Holford. This is my wife, Ann, and I already know I'm married up, so y'all don't need to remind me. Sometimes Ann teaches Bible study here. We'll be, you know, walking around and meet somebody that is in her Bible study, and they go, "Hey, here's my husband." And I can. Sometimes it's not audible, but I can always see the wow. So anyway, I'm happy to be here with y'all tonight. We've been married 37 years, so settle in. Make yourself comfortable. And throughout that 37, we've been trying to figure out who to blame our mistakes on. We keep going back to try to figure out something our parents did, but we just can't do that. We were both raised in not overtly Christian homes, but certainly in homes that loved us, gave us every opportunity to do what we wanted to do, and cause none of the issues that we've brought on ourselves. So what we're going to share with you tonight, we've done ourselves.
When I started law school at UT, I was dating this great guy that I was sure I was going to marry. And one day in the law library, this guy came up to me and he said his name was Neil. And he asked about a cross necklace I was wearing. And I think it was his smooth way of trying to find out if I were a Christian. But after that, Neil and I became great friends at school, and we would eat lunch at school every day. It was like so eighth grade. And so in October, I had plans with my boyfriend that he was going to come to my parents' house in Houston to ask my dad if he could marry me. Of course, I'm telling Neil because he's my great guy friend. Neil kind of stopped me in the middle of it. He goes, "There's something I need to tell you." And he told me that he liked me as more than a friend, which totally caught me off guard. Like, dating Neil had never even crossed my mind. It was one of those, like, awkward moments.
That's what I'm talking about.
Anyway, I have no idea what I said. I'm sure it was, like, totally dorky. But something changed that day. And the next few weeks were probably some of the most intense times I've ever had with God, just trying to seek his will because I really didn't know what to do. I liked both of them. My boyfriend was a committed Christian, but Neil's relationship with Christ, it was just something like I'd never seen before. Like, it was so real, and that intrigued me. And so by Thanksgiving, I knew I wasn't going to marry the other guy, and so we broke up. And then December of the same year, Neil invited me up here to meet his family. And while we were there, out of the blue, he asked me to marry him. Again, like, totally caught me off guard. We had never even talked about marriage. I'd only known him for 2 months. And so, like, during that split second, I was trying to think of, like, what am I going to say? And I just said yes. You know, I don't necessarily recommend that process to anyone else. And I'm sure, yeah, Robert is just scribbling notes up here saying, do not invite them to speak at the pre-marriage class. But that was over 30 years ago. And from that moment till now, I've never had a doubt that I was supposed to marry Neil. Later I learned there was a little more to that story than what I knew at the time.
Yeah, we can put up the before slide. That was right before I started my rodeo career, and I think that was right before the Calgary Stampede. Back then, I knew I really liked Ann, and didn't really know what to do about it. Figured that she was just gonna go off and marry the other guy. But I did have an opportunity to have a lot of guys back here who were, I guess, we were in community. Now, that was back in the 70s before we even discovered the word community. I don't even know if it was in the dictionary or not, but we had it. And so I came back to those guys, and they were consistent in, hey, if God wants this to happen, it's going to happen. Go ahead and tell her how you feel. They told me Psalm 37:4, which is, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So I did that, and sure enough, he did, and Ann and I got married. Now one of the guys up there in that picture with a paisley shirt, can you put it back on for just a second, maybe? Okay. That kind of weaves through our whole story. We talk a lot in Reengage about how important community is, and it's certainly been important throughout our marriage. That's a former elder here, Scott Coy, for those of y'all who might or might not know Scott, and I think Scott still has that shirt and wears it often. But Scott actually performed wedding ceremony for us, and comes up throughout. We've maintained that community myself for over 40 years. So it's a big deal. When they talk about having that, it is a big deal. So we've had it, and it's been a great thing.
Well, we got married, and then kind of our life happened. When we decided to start a family, I had a miscarriage with the first pregnancy. Then we had our son, Will, and after that, I had three more miscarriages right in a row. We were heartbroken and scared and grieving through that. But I think God was starting to show me through that not to find my identity or my security or significance through being a mom or a wife or anything other than Christ himself. That whether I was ever going to have kids or whether I had a good marriage could not be the basis of whether I was okay. That Christ alone had to be enough, whether we had kids or a good marriage, whether we had those things or not. A verse that meant a lot to me during that time was Psalm 73, 25, and 26. And it says, "Whom have I in heaven besides you? And besides you I desire nothing on earth. My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." Well, sometime after that, out of the blue, we had an opportunity to adopt a baby through a private adoption. And that's how we had our daughter, Caroline. And then 22 months after that, we had our youngest daughter, Stephanie.
The miscarriages were, some of y'all have gone through it. It's a hard, hard thing. And it was very hard for Ann, but it was hard for me too. It made us really appreciate our kids and really value them. And I think sometimes, probably for both of us, but I know for me, it made me almost overvalue them. One of them's here tonight. She could probably tell you that she felt some of this. But, you know, I tended to hold them like this instead of like this. And rather than accepting that they were God's and he had given us the opportunity to parent them while we're here, but they were his children, truly. And it made me sometimes elevate them even above my relationship with him, but certainly above my relationship with Ann at times. So it was only when I was able to rightly put that back with God first. We talk about that a lot, reengage. God first, my relationship with him. Secondly, my relationship with Ann. And thirdly, with my kids. And to them, that's a great sense of belonging, a great sense of security to know that, first of all, that their mom and dad have a relationship with the Savior, and secondly, that they can see a strong marriage. That gives them way more security than so much focus on them. So there's times we've had to redirect that, and I certainly learned that through the heartbreak and then the joy of having them. As we moved along in our marriage, went from regular blood pressure to high blood pressure, started getting it checked, and found out that I had a disease that runs in our family, my dad's side of the family, called polycystic kidney disease. So about the late 80s, early 90s, multiple cysts started forming on my kidneys, and it was leading toward I was either going to have to go on dialysis or get a kidney transplant. So at that point, I have one sibling. We didn't have the same blood type. My dad was already on dialysis at that time. Actually, he'd already passed away at that time. But started getting on the cadaver kidney list. But at the same time, two friends of mine came up and said, "Hey, we'll do it," which is pretty amazing. So one of them was on the screen there. So I know there's people in this church that have actually done that for people they didn't even know. But to have two friends of mine say, "Hey, we'll give you a kidney, no big deal." So very humbling experience. So went to the doctor, started all the tests, and she came out one day and said, "Hey, good news, if you have to get a cadaver kidney, things don't work out, you're on the A-list." Well, I mean, you've seen the picture. Obviously, that's why I was going to be on the A-list. And so I really had no idea why I was going to be on the A-list. So I said, "Why am I going to be on the A-list?" And she said, "Well, because that's your blood type." I said, "Well, no. See, I have type O blood because that's what my mom told me. So you need to go check it again." So she did, came back and said, "No, you know, our tests are pretty good, and you have type A." So that's what Ann has. So Ann quickly jumped to the front of the line and gave me a kidney. It'll be 18 years Friday. So thank you. It's a greatly humbling experience. It's a tremendous gift. It's a great thing that she gave me. At the same time, it's a humbling thing because I'm supposed to be the guy. I'm supposed to be the guy giving her a kidney if anybody has to. But it's the most clear picture that I've personally ever experienced of the picture that Christ paints for us. All I could do was say thanks. There was nothing I could do to qualify for it except accept it. That's our position before our Savior. We all we can do is just accept the free gift of grace. So Ann gave me that April 11th, 1996.
I mean, I think I'd always assumed or maybe taken for granted that Neil was just always going to be the rock and he was never going to change. But when he got so sick, I had to take on roles that I had not expected. I remember one time our son had cut his foot on something, bleeding everywhere, like he needed to go to the ER, and I just had to take him by myself. And just remember going through that experience thinking, this is not how it's supposed to be. And through that and lots of other things like that, God was saying, no, no, no. God says, God is the only one who never changes. And so don't expect my husband to be something that only God can be. And that is unchanging. But God's miraculous provision for that kidney, one of the greatest privileges of my life. And you've heard that verse in Genesis that talks about the two shall become one flesh. Well, we kind of took that a different direction than most people do. When our sweet daughter Caroline reached her teenage years, she pretty much rebelled against everything. Pretty much anything you can think of, we've been through. Rebellion, lying, drugs, serious alcohol, a string of boyfriends who are not who you dream of for your daughter, and friends who encouraged her self-destructive behavior. We lived in crisis for 6 years. We never knew what was going to happen next. I prayed for her until my knees were bruised. When Caroline was 14, she got pregnant. It was twins. The twins, thankfully, a boy and a girl, were born healthy, and in the hardest decision of our lives so far, she was placed for adoption with a Christian family in an open adoption situation where we continue to see them. The grief was overwhelming. I thought I would never smile again. Neil was a superstar during that time. He had to do things that no dad should ever have to do. He knew that because God never gives up on his children, that we have no right to ever give up on our children. And, we often talk about how God used that time to really change us, to make us way more humble and way less judgmental. Now, I'd already known that God gives the husband the leadership role to lead the family and the marriage, but I learned through that God gives a special wisdom to the husband as the leader that I need to listen to. I don't always listen to that, though. And some of the greatest regrets of my life have been times that I have not listened to the wisdom that God has given Neil to lead our family and our marriage. But after 6 years, God dramatically and instantaneously changed Caroline. It is an amazing story that we wish we had time to tell you. But we know that God doesn't always work that way, that dramatic, instant way. It's just how he worked here. And I have no explanation for it other than that we have a God who is so big, he can do things that are beyond what we could even imagine. One of the most wonderful moments of my life was watching Neil walk Caroline down the aisle at her wedding. And y'all, she married a student at Dallas Theological Seminary. Like, seriously? If you knew me during that time, you have heard me say, if Caroline even married a half-decent human being, I'd be thrilled. Seminary student. Their wedding was a picture of God's redemption. The glory is his and his alone. Her birth mother, who we had found during that time, that's another story, and her five sons were at the wedding. And the twins were the flower girl and the ring bearer. It was a beautiful picture of what God can do. And when God says that there is nothing too hard for him, that's true. When he says there's no situation too hard for him to redeem, that's true. God is in the business of taking things that are broken, rearranging the pieces, and putting them back together. And if he can do this, he can do that in your marriage, with your past, with your circumstances. God may be in the process of rearranging the pieces of your marriage right now. And it may be very painful and very uncomfortable. But let him do it his way.
That time was a very, very hard time for several years. But like Ann said, God doesn't always work in just that instantaneously, but he certainly did here. I was actually at breakfast with the same guy that continues to weave through this is in our community when his son called and said, "Hey, has Neil talked to Caroline since she got back from this trip?" And I said, "No." And we came back and sat in our living room and heard her for an hour just pour out her reconciliation, basically, back to Christ. As Ann said, there were times that I just prayed to God, first of all, where is she? Secondly, just keep her safe. Just make any kind of small step that you can. What I learned from it, like Ann said, was to not limit God, to pray huge, because we have a God of huge messes. He takes care of them. We have a God of huge miracles. There's nothing too broken for him. I don't care whether it's our daughter, our marriage, y'all's marriage, whatever it may be. God can handle it, and he can take care of it. We're just very, very blessed with that. And what Ephesians 3:20 describes this God of ours as to pray to now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or imagine according to his power. And that's the God that we have. So I just want to encourage all of us to do that and to call on him. I'd like to say that at that point, everything's been smooth. We had it figured out. We've ridden off into the sunset and figured it out. But you know what? As Ann said, life continues to happen. We got another slide. This is more recent life. That's our kids. Now, I did hide the beer behind my one-year-old in this other picture, so
that's the only picture we have, our whole family.
We're a huge drinking family. No, we're not. But anyway.
I'll have to edit that.
Okay. Take that out of the... We have continued to have our struggles. We've continued to have our growth. This is why, to us, having the opportunity to come back with Reengage has been such a positive for us, because every time, there's lessons we go through and we go, hey, I can see some growth here. And then there's others that I just dread coming up because I realize, I haven't really done what I said I was going to do since that last time. So it's been a great opportunity to have that focus put on our marriage. And again, really, it's an opportunity for each of us to have the opportunity to strengthen our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and through that, to improve our marriage. So we're real high on Reengage. We're real high on the opportunity to come and be in the ministry, to have this opportunity to share with y'all. And I just want to share some verses of encouragement this is who we are. This is who God calls us to be. And just to close with this, Colossians 3:12 through 17 says, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body you were called to peace, and be thankful. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him." Thank y'all.
Thanks.